Come on, praise him like you love him. Praise him like you know you can't do without him. Praise him because you know he's blessing you. He's marvelous. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you. For this day, this is the day that you've made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for sparing us. For Lord, we owe it all to you. So we give it to you. The best we can. The best we know how. Thank you for the marvelous works of Christ, who stood in our stead, died for our good. Thank you. Give us oneness, Lord, today. As I stand to preach, give us oneness in you. Pulpit and pew. And the various places that's watching from their homes and cars, relative homes, and wherever they may be. Lord, we need your word. And we know you're going to give it, because your word says, as the snow and rain falls from heaven, watereth the earth, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall your word go out from you, and will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. You are my strength and my redeemer. Cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy. That your people will hear your voice and receive your word. And when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all the honor and glory, majesty and power. It is in the marvelous, majestic, mighty name of Jesus the Christ we do pray, and every heart say amen. Come on, this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. God has blessed us on this most noted day, the 4th of July, or Independence Day. And we thank him for a freedom that's deeper and more durable than the world can give. For we are free. And we thank God for freedom. Certainly we thank God for these preachers, the persons of Reverend McCoy, Dr. Walker, Reverend Mims, and Reverend Woods. Thank God for all of you, certainly to the deacons and trustees who have devoted us in song and scripture and prayer, and to this praise team who have sung so melodiously and blessed us in song. The Lord is marvelous. It's one of my favorite songs. It lifts the Lord. And that's what we are in the business of. Lifting the Lord. He says, if I be lifted from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And certainly we are to lift him and lift him high. Amen. He is an exalted God. He's above all, and all is beneath him. And we thank God for the privilege of participating in his ministry, his kingdom work. Amen. Want to encourage you to sign up for our VBS. Sister Reba is here, and we thank her for her leadership, and we want to participate in our VBS Vacation Bible School next week, starting on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Also want to encourage you to sign up for our marriage ministry. We are creating marriage community in the church, and then spreading throughout the community. Our church is as strong as our relationships with one another, especially those who have covenant. So we want to encourage you. We have 34, I think, as of now, who have signed up. That's 17 couples. And we're looking for you. If you are married, if you are planning on marrying, if you're thinking about, and you haven't quite got to that stage yet, come on and be a part of our marriage ministry so you'll know how to do it, and you will be instructed by way of the word. So Saturday, this Saturday coming, second Saturday of every month at 5 in the Family Life Center. So if you have not registered already, make sure you register and join us for the marriage ministry. Amen. 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 I thought I saw Sister Burks. Come on, stand. She's here from surgery. Amen. Amen. And I thought I saw Sister Kirkland. Sister Kirkland, stand. Amen. No, is there anyone else here from surgery, recovering from surgery, hospitalization, illness? Who is that? Amen. Miss Powell, amen. Bless you, baby. Bless you today. Amen. Bless you. Thank God for your presence here today. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Beginning with verse 31. And we will end our reading with verse 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." Look at somebody and say, "I'm guilty." Y'all didn't say that loud enough and convincing enough. Look at somebody and say, "I'm guilty." "And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the Son, capital S, therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I'm guilty, but I'm free. I want y'all to get that in your spirit. Guilty, but free. Look at somebody and say, "Abounding in Christian freedom." Look at another and say, abounding in Christian freedom. Amen. The 4th of July is one of the most celebrated holidays in America. Independence Day is a federal holiday to commemorate the Declaration of Independence of the United States on July 4th, 1776. The Continental Congress declared the 13 American colonies were no longer subject to the monarch of Britain, King George III, and were now united, free, and independent states. 4th of July is a celebration of freedom. Say that with me, freedom. There are people who celebrate freedom on the 4th of July who are not free. Eating barbecue, drinking sodas, drinking beer, wine, and whiskey, celebrating with families, but are not free. Jesus makes a wonderful declaration of victory and freedom. He said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, as believers in Christ, we have freedom in Jesus Christ. Jesus makes us free indeed. Free indeed is undeniable freedom. Freedom in reality, true freedom. I want to pause parenthetically to say to us that the world does not promote freedom indeed. The world promotes fake freedom, false freedom. The sinful world, going all the way back to Satan's deceit in the garden, thinks of freedom as being able to do whatever one pleases. Freedom is not you doing whatever you want to do and deciding for yourself if it is right or wrong. Worldly freedom is freedom in abstract. In other words, it is freedom that exists as an idea, but not in concrete existence. Is fake freedom. Fake freedom is bondage, inability, addiction, and out of control quality of life. Let me say that again. Fake freedom, false freedom, worldly freedom is bondage, inability, addiction, and out of control quality of life. Jesus, he came to give us a different, deeper, and more durable freedom than the fake freedom of the world. Look at somebody and tell them, Jesus makes us free indeed. He makes us free indeed. He makes us free indeed. It is undeniable freedom. Freedom in reality. He makes us free. That's the truth. He makes us free indeed. Several things from the text I want to share with you from John 8, 31 through 36 regarding our freedom. First of all, true followers of Christ are free. Now, I put emphasis on the word true. Followers, true followers of Christ are free. Verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He was talking to Jews who
believed in him, he shared with them the importance of true discipleship.
Right.
Notice he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. In other words, he's not talking about a one day stand.
That's right.
A one day good time or shindig with the Lord. He's talking about those who will continue, live a life of constant obedience to his word. He says true disciples are not people who come through the door, give the preacher their hand, and never surrender their heart. He says true disciple is not one who comes in and only show up when they have to do something. No, he says a true disciple is one who continues in his word. See, many people claim themselves to be followers of Christ, profess that they are believers in Christ, but according to Jesus, it is not what you say out of the mouth. It is what you believe in your heart and do with your life. It's more than speech. It's a life of surrender and servitude unto God. He says, you are my disciple if you continue. Now, Jesus in John's gospel did not commit himself to everybody. Matter of fact, in chapter 2, there were some he did not commit himself to because they were not real disciples. John 2 verses 23 through 25 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. You can't fool the Lord.
That's right.
You may fool people some of the time, but you will never fool God, because he's not looking at your outer appearance. He's not looking at your external. He knows your heart. Oh, yes, he does. He knows what's on the inside of you. He can see beyond the smile. He knows you beyond what you say. He didn't commit himself to them because they were only with him for what they could get out of him. I'm preaching now. There are so many people that's only with him for what they can get out of him, for what they can receive from him. He wants to give you something before he give you something. See, before he give you material things, he wants to give you his word. He wants to give you something before he gives you something. And most people don't want the first something before they get the second something. And they want the second something before they get the first something. That's why they run off with the second something and not stick around for the first something. He wants to give you his word before he gives you material things. He knew their heart. And he knew that they were only following him for what they could get out of him. In John chapter 6, there were those who identified themselves as disciples, but turned and walked away and followed Jesus no more when he would not give them bread and fish. When he said to them, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. He was not subscribing to cannibalism. He was only telling them to put him within them.
That's right.
And they said, this is a hard saying. who can obey. And they walked away and followed him no more. It's when you put responsibility on people, you discover what they are about. See, as long as things are good, as long as they are benefiting, they with you and for you. But the moment you begin to put responsibility on them, that's when you discover what they are about and who they are. Because everybody can't handle responsibility. Jesus, he would not give them fish and bread. And they turned and followed him no more. It is, Jesus tells us that this kind of profession is surface and not sufficient to say their profession was false and deceptive. And he says there will be many who will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord. Have not we preached in your word, in your name? Have we not delivered or exercised demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Those are some of the most indicting words. Those are the most fearful words that one could hear. You dress for heaven, but he sends you to hell. You think you're going in just to get to the gate and be turned away. He says, you use my name, but you never put me in your heart. He says, you deceived the people and they benefited off of what you were doing, but you were never doing it with the right motives because you never had me in your heart. He says, I know you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The Jews, Jesus is referring to in verse 31, believed in him, but they only had a surface belief, a shallow belief in him. In other words, they did not fully believe in him as the Savior. Notice that they said, we have never been in bondage. So if they never been in bondage, in their minds, they saw no need of him as their Savior. They were believing in what he was doing, in the miracle he was performing, and the feeding ceremonies that he hosted for them, but they never believed in him as Savior. In other words, they never fully believed. Let me tiptoe into the premise of this particular space to say to us, there are many in here.
That's right. That's right.
Who have not believed fully.
That's right. That's right.
You're not believing him in full as Savior of your soul. You think you got your life figured out. You think you got your life in your hand. You think you living your life however you choose and the end result is whatever you want it to be. But I'm here to tell you that you're not fully believing in him.
That's right.
Jesus, he calls them in verses 43 and 44, children of the devil or children of Satan. Same people that he's talking about in verse 31. In verses 43 and 44, he calls them children. How can you believe in Christ and still be a child of Satan. It's right in the text. Verse 31, he says they believed in him, Jews. Verses 43 and 44, he says they are children of their father, the devil.
That's right.
How is it that they can believe in Jesus and be children of the devil? It's because they didn't fully believe. See, we can believe something without casting our confidence in it. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. No confidence. Jesus says, you have mental assent. You believe in your mind. You have mental assent, but mental assent is not enough. Jesus says they were his disciples if they continued in his word. The word continue in Greek means to stay, to remain, to abide. It denotes a life pattern of obeying the word of God. Continue. See, it's not you obeying God when you feel like it. It's not you obeying God when you feel it's feasible. It's you obeying God all the time.
Amen.
In season and out of season. In trouble and out of trouble. In delight and in danger. It's you obeying God all the time.
Yeah.
And we see by the time we got to chapter 6 that they had walked away and were not following him anymore because he gave them a hard requirement.
Yeah, that's right.
See, we want to be comfortable.
That's right.
And we only want to be with them when it's comfortable. We're looking for cash, comfort, commodities, and cruises. And as long as we are getting the C's, we are
right.
But when things turn, when circumstances change, what you about then? See, God allowed this pandemic to show you you.
That's right.
See, before the pandemic, you were doing all that bragging about how far you were willing to go. And you were sharing the lyrics of the song, Lord, I go with you all the way.
Right.
And when the pandemic hit, you stopped part of the way.
That's right.
See, he allowed this pandemic to reveal to you, you.
That's right.
He says, if you continue in my word. Which means to have a life of obedience.
That's right.
Regardless of what circumstances look like,
yeah.
I'm going to obey God.
That's right.
If it looks favorable, if it doesn't look favorable, I'm still going to obey God.
Right.
He says, when you come to that kind of conviction in your life, he's going to reveal truth to you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
That's right.
The question, some may ask, what is truth? But the truth is really not what, it's who. Because Jesus is the only one who could boldly say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 1 verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses by grace, and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus, he is the truth.
Yeah.
And so what is this truth? is Christ. And so what is this freedom that he gives us? Here it is. It's the result of redemption. Redemption means to be purchased in a marketplace. It refers to the act of buying a slave.
That's right.
Paul said in Romans 6, 18 and 22, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and it's in eternal life. Paul said in Romans 8 verse 2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Galatians 5 1, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, we are free. And at the same time, we're slaves. That's a paradox. We're free. But at the same time, we're slaves. Paul, good example of this. When he surrendered his life over to the Lord, he knew he belonged to the Lord. He would often start his letters with Paul, a servant. That word servant means slave. Servant, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. To show you that Paul was not only with Christ when things were good. You remember in Acts chapter 16, he was there in Philippi and he was ministering. And there was a demonic girl who followed him yelling out, these are servants of the Most High. And when he cast out that spirit of divination, he was cast before the magistrates. He was beaten and thrown in jail. See, when you're free in the Lord, you can be in jail and still free. Because it's not the physical location that determines your freedom. It's the Christ that you have on the inside of you that determines your freedom. Y'all know what he did. You know, he was in that jail, and at midnight they decided to have a midnight revival, a one night revival, and they began to sing and pray, and the spirit came in and shook up that prison, and the doors were open. He was in jail but free, because he was free indeed.
That's right.
Your freedom, it's not predicated upon places and possessions, prosperity, prominence, and positions.
That's right.
Your freedom is in Christ.
Right.
He says, if you're mine, if you're mine,
yeah,
I'll make you free.
That's right.
And you free indeed.
Amen.
True followers are free, but false followers are slaves of sin.
Yeah.
Verses 33 to 35, false followers are held in bondage,
yeah,
by sin.
That's right.
The Jews had the audacity to say to Jesus, they had never been slaves of anyone or any nation because they were descendants of Abraham.
That's right.
That wasn't truth. Because as you thumb through the Old Testament, they were slaves in Egypt.
Yeah.
Not only were they slaves to Egypt, they were slaves in Babylon. Not only were they slaves in Babylon, but they were slaves to the Medo-Persian Empire. Not only were they slaves to the Medo-Persian Empire, but they were slaves to the Greeks. And at the time they were speaking, they were under the dictatorship of Rome. That's why they wanted to throng him in chapter 6 of John and make him their king, because they were thinking in terms of political leader. And here it is, they had the audacity to say to him that we have never been in bondage before. Listen, sin will blind you. Sin will make you say some stuff that you have no business saying because there's no truth to it. Sin will make you open your mouth and lie even in the presence of Jesus. I ought to have a witness here. Somebody here ought to be a witness. You know, not everybody that sit on the padded pew tell the truth in church. Some people come to church lying. Because sin will make you open your mouth and lie when you don't even have to lie. We've never been in bondage before. And at the time they were speaking, they were in bondage to sin.
That's right.
They were in bondage. Jesus, in chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, was in the temple. And to prove my posture now, let me go back to chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, to show you how they were in bondage to sin. They drug the woman in that was caught in adultery. That was visible sin. They caught her. They could see that. You know, we love to talk about what we can see. You know, they caught her. That was visible sin, and they drug her in church before Jesus in his teaching section. And they cast her down before him and said, "Lord, we caught her in the very act of adultery." You know, in church, we only have certain sins we harp on. You know, we make certain sins worse than others. And they really thought they had a case. And not only did they bring the woman in church, but they brought some stones. You know, people would not only kill you in a ditch, they'll kill you on the pew. They brought her in with stones in their hand. And Jesus, he stooped down and started writing something. Now, some say he was writing out their sin. I don't know. But he wrote something on the ground. And then he says, "You without sin, cast the first stone." Now, to show you they were guilty, nobody cast the stone. See, God didn't give us a stone casting ministry. No, he wants us to be people of truth who will share truth to produce life. And we got too many stone casters waiting on somebody to mess up so you can drag them in and stone them to death. You may not be stoning them physically, but you're stoning them with every word that come out of your mouth. They were all guilty because all of them dropped the stones. And walked out. I wonder if we had a stone ceremony today. I just believe somebody will throw it anyway. You mess around and give us a stone. If we had to flip it behind the back, we'll throw it anyway. He says you're false. You want to condemn and not be condemned.
That's right.
That's why he says stuff like, the same measure you meet unto others shall be measured unto you. Now, you know you can't live up to the harsh standards that you have set for other people. Why are you setting them for other people if you can't live up to them yourself? He says, you are in bondage because you think you don't need me. I come to set you free. And you don't even think you have a problem. He says, you say you are the seed of Abraham. If you were the seed of Abraham, you would know me. If you were children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. He says, but you're of your father, the devil. Here it is. I'm finished. He came to free us. Free us from and free us to. He came to free us from sin slavery. The truth, brothers and sisters, none of us had power to overcome the influence of sin. Sin was our ruler, and it held us captive. You know, sin will hold you longer than you want to be held. And it will take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And we were all slaves. I want you to go like this. We were all. Yeah, agree with me. Yeah, some of you can't shake your head. No, I ain't agreeing with that. You know, that's the problem with people in the world. They won't agree with that. That's why the world is not getting any better, because they won't agree to the fact that they are slaves of sin. I was messed up. Messed up from the flow up. Every bit of me, every facet, every part of me prior to my salvation in Christ Jesus was messed up. Doing things I had no business doing. He says we were servants of sin, but he freed us from. Which means that he freed us from the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23, we can enjoy because we have eternal life. We no longer have to pay the penalty of sin. He freed us from satanic dominion. Freed us from fear of death. Freed us from demonic oppression. Freed us from spiritual blindness. Freed us from eternal judgment. He freed us from guilt and shame. We have all done things that we are ashamed of. Lord, I thank you for taking my sins, putting them in a bag, and casting them into the sea. See, you can't find them if you want to find them. You ought to be glad about that. Because people are constantly in hunt of your sins, you know, what you used to do. But listen, you can't find them if you want to find them. Because what the Lord has done is threw my sin bag in the sea. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody in here thankful that God has gotten rid of your past and he has thrown your sin back? He has sent your sin away as far as the east is from the west. And if he has gotten rid of it, why are you still bringing it up? Why are you bringing up? Why are you living your life rehashing the past?
That's right.
I'm free.
Yeah.
I'm going to smile like I'm free.
Yeah.
When I sit around and talk, I'm going to talk free.
Yeah.
I'm going to laugh free.
Yeah.
I'm going to praise like I'm free.
Yeah.
I'm going to dance like I'm free. I'm going to have myself a good time. I'm going to preach it like I'm free. I'm going to sing like I'm free. Do I have any free folk in here? He says, I'm free from sin. But thanks be to God that I'm free too. Free to have fellowship with God. Jesus, he is God in the flesh.
Yeah.
And I'm free to have fellowship with God.
Yeah.
For the Lord said, come near to God, and I will come near to you.
Yeah.
I'm free to draw near to God.
Yeah.
God the Father wants a close fellowship with you and with me. And the only way it can happen is by being free in Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Is there anybody in the room who thank God for Jesus? If you thank God for Jesus, you ought to look at somebody and say, thank God for Jesus. I'm free to have fellowship with God. I'm free to live my life bold as a Christian. I'm free to go in before the presence of God and offer a praise and prayer. I'm free to live a life abundantly. I'm free to love God and love my fellow man. I'm free because the Lord has set me free. And the Bible says, who the Lord set free is free indeed. Well, what did he do, Rogers, to make you free? He went from judgment hall to judgment hall. He was marched from the judgment hall to the town square where they beat him 39 lashes. Not only that, but he was marched up the Via Dolorosa, and he was hanged between two thieves. They put nails in his hands and ribbon in his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They speared him in his side, and out came water and blood. Thank God for Jesus, because he dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders, and he gave his spirit to his Father, and he died. Is there anybody know he died? If you know he died, why don't you stand on your feet? And if you don't mind, you ought to point at somebody and tell them he died that Friday on the cross. But I thank God that's not the end of the story. They took his lifeless body down from the cross and put it in a borrowed tomb, where he stayed in that tomb for a little while. He was there Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday day at noon, Saturday night, but early Sunday morning. Is there anybody believing? Early Sunday morning, you ought to wave at me if you believe. Early Sunday morning, you ought to wave at me if you believe. You ought to wave at me if you believe. Early Sunday morning, he got up out of that grave with all power in his hands. Let me ask you my question, and then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, you ought to high five your relative and tell him, I know he's all right, because he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I'm his all. And you ought to look at him one more time and say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's a friend of mine. He walks with me. He holds me in the midnight hour. He gives me life. He gives me freedom. He gives me my is set free, and whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Let me hear you raise your voice one more time when I ask you my question. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah, yeah, yeah. The doors
of the Lord's house stands ajar.
I'm free. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, I'm free. And you can't do nothing about it. I'm free. Come on, look at them and tell them, I'm free. I don't care how much you pray on me, P-R-E-Y, but you can't get rid of my freedom. I'm free in the Lord, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Come on, tell them, I'm free.
I'm free. I'm free. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden, glory, glory, hallelujah. Burden down, Lord, since I laid burdens down, Lord. I am climbing Jacob's I am climbing going home to live with Jesus. I'm going home to
everyone. Remain to your feet if you will. Everyone remain to your feet if you will. You have your couplet, your communion couplet. If you're in need of one, please raise your hand. If you're in need of one, please raise your hand. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke 22. When the hour was come, he sat down and 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "What desire I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. And I say unto you, I will not drink of the vine, fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Father, we thank you for this special time, this spiritual time that you have given unto us as family, family of faith, family of your kingdom. Thank you for your son who hung, bled, and died so that we will have a right to the tree of life. Thank you for the broken body and shed blood. Father, you blessed us in our coming in, and we are depending on you to lead us out safely. We know that this is a day of celebration. We celebrate you, Christ, first. And then this is a day of celebrating independence as a nation, as a country. Father, keep us safe as we engage and indulge in public affairs. Lord, just to see a few fireworks, nothing of the sin nature, but keep us safe. Because the world is full of crazy people doing crazy things that will, Lord, cause harm, hurt, or even death to others. We trust you and believe you. Lord, bless everyone under the sound of my voice, their family time. There will be a time of reflection that they will think back on where you brought them from and be thankful and grateful that they are free, and they are free indeed. Now, Father, as we make ready to leave this place, but never your divine presence, Lord, I pray that you will give us, Lord, your love, your power, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, that it will rest, rule, and abide with us now and forevermore. And every heart say amen. Be blessed. Be blessed today.